September 12th, Jesus says, "Among the pure believers, among these humble, simple spirits I spoke to you about yesterday, to whom I grant the possession of truth, I prompt special souls, I choose them before their incorporation into life, because I know everything about the man who has lived, who lives, and who will live, and I thus already know beforehand how every spirit will act on earth, either meriting or demeriting. And do not say that this is injustice, because I do not force you to merit. No. This is faithfulness to my work and my promise, to create man capable of guiding himself, and free to guide himself. I give my children help, all help, but I do not force them to make use of it. I desire it with all my love, but respect the desire of man. God spurred his love to the point of sacrificing his logos, so that he would bring you the word and the blood. But he cannot do, does not want to do, more. What merit would you have in being good, if I kept you from being wicked? To the souls, then, whom I choose, for I know in advance that they will be holy out of love, or will become holy after error through sincere repentance and double love, I also give what I do not give to the masses, teachings and lights which are blessedness for the souls themselves, and a guide for their sister souls, less enlightened than they, because they are less fused to me than they. But woe if these beloved souls show avarice or arrogance concerning my gift. I do not love the avaricious and detest the proud. The former act against charity, because they save for themselves what belongs to everyone, for I am the father of all, and I give my treasures to the beloved, so that they will be my almsgivers for the spiritually poor, and not so that they will greedily and uncharitably hoard the treasures themselves, slaying charity and disobeying God's will. The fact of slaying charity alone breaks the canal through which my words flow to them, and puts out the light by which they see the truth of my words. They thus forfeit their missions as bearers of my voice. This explains why certain souls, short lie before beacons of the church, later perish in a grayness of pernicious haze. As for the haughty, furthermore, they are inexorably and immediately deprived of my gift. In these my word does not fade out slowly like a flower dying without water, or a bird imprisoned in a dark jail, as happens in the greedy. It dies at once like a strangled creature. Haughtiness is the quintessence of anti-charity, the perfection of anti-charity, and its demoniacal poison instantly kills the light in the heart. Whereas I look at your weaknesses with pain and compassion, I turn my gaze elsewhere when I encounter a haughty person. And do you know what it is not to have my gaze upon oneself any longer? It is to be poor blind people, poor madmen, wretched drunks who go groping from one danger to another, and encounter death. That's what it is not to have upon oneself any longer the gaze of God, who protects you as nothing else can protect you. To my holy and blessed mother it was granted to be the bearer of the word, not so much because of her immaculate nature, as because of her super-perfect humility. All forms of human humility do not amount to the treasure of humility of the most humble one, who remained such, you should understand, even when she found out her destiny of being the highest of all creatures. Mary has consoled the three divine persons, who were left wounded by the haughtiness of Lucifer and the first couple, with her humility, second only to that of the word. My dear mother, our perennial joy, if only you could see her today, in heaven as all paradise surrounds her, with its love, and acclaims her and her saving name. You would see an abyss of bottomless glory in the super abyss of humility, and the inconceivable light of Mary beams doubly, because of her most chaste, virginal humility, which recollects itself in adoration before us, and mortifies all our heavenly hosannas by saying, Domine non sum digna, saint and first priestess. She, not worthy, for whom we would create a second paradise, so that she could receive redoubled praises. Look, Maria. On this day of Mary receive the vision of the light in which she is your and my mother. You have seen the rutilant, unbearably bright light of our threefold fire. Now look at the very soft light of Mary, drink it in, feed on it. You will never feel anything sweeter descending into your heart. Look, for as long as I grant it to you, at this fountain, this star of light that is Mary, shining in heaven with her body of whiteness which could not become corrupted, because it was the holy sheath of God made flesh in addition to having reached the human perfection of all holiness, and being super resplendent, because of her spirit, joined to the spirit of God in eternal marriage. See, the blue of the heavens surrounds the whiteness, and tinges it with celestial reflections, and Mary's light makes the heavens luminous, as if by a superhuman April dawn in which the morning star smiles upon the virgin blossoming world. Look and remember the vision which the angels contemplate with perennial, joyful laughter. May it be your serenity as the vision of us is your strength. You are shown things which surpass man's intelligence, and this is by the will of God. But in order to receive this gift always learn from Mary, to touch the peaks of humility, which brings low the clay, to take the spirit on high. I have reserved this gift for you for the name of Mary, for the nativity. The smile of Mary, the holy woman, for the name. The glory of Mary, the mother of God. I have seen, and cannot describe, our mother, in her dwelling in heaven. As and I would almost say even more than with God, the comparison of light is useful to me here to speak of her. A comfortable, white blue light like that of the clearest moonbeam multiplied by a supernatural intensity. I do not even distinguish sharply Mary's face and body, too much light for them to be distinguished by the human eye. And I will explain. Not a dazzling light that keeps you from looking, but a light turning the contours and shapes of Mary's glorified body into light, and, as a result, I cannot state the colors it has. I might say that, if mountains of pearls were turned into light, a comparison to what the most white one, blessed in heaven, is like would be obtained. And I could also say that, if a vision had the power to change the color of human eyes, needing the rainbow of color issuing from the vision, my eyes, dark brown in color, should now be a light blue of pale liquid sapphire, like that flowing forth from certain stars on peaceful nights. I am immersed in emotion making me cry tears of spiritual joy, and I cannot say anything else.